Welcome to Living Goddess with Shamali God Arda. Listen in for goddess mythology, wisdom teachings, and intimate sharings from her daily practice and contemplations. Shamali illuminates the Shakti keys stitched into the fabric of our daily lives and inspires us to reclaim a pulsating intimacy with Source and revive our spiritual lineage rooted in the Living Goddess.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Living Goddess Podcast. I'm your host, Shamali. Today I will respond to one of the many questions and requests that we have received from the listeners. And this question today is from Simone. She was a participant in the Goddess Wisdom Keeper Retreat in Augsburg, Germany in January. And in that retreat, I mentioned how beneficial it is to establish a relationship to the Vishnu qualities within ourselves and in life. And Simone, she requests that I would elaborate on how we do that and the importance of that. Vishnu, he is the consort, the other half of the goddess Lakshmi, the goddess of abundance, of ease, of dharma, of beauty. She is that bridge between the dimensions. And both Lakshmi and Vishnu, they offer us a path where the practicalities of life, the material expression of spirit, is not something other than our spiritual path. So it is a path of the householder, which many of us can recognize ourselves in. And it is a very powerful yogic symbol to meditate on Lakshmi and Vishnu together. Many of us can feel an immediate yes, an attraction to Lakshmi as this kind of beautiful goddess who reminds us and mirrors to us the abundance of our true nature and how we can create and play in the world beyond our limited beliefs or beliefs of limitations. She is the embodiment of sustainable creativity. She is Earth herself. She is Shri. She is that the miracle of life itself. She is that which brings meaning and beauty. And the story is that when Lakshmi came into the world, she was the most beautiful goddess the world had ever seen, and all the gods lined up to ask for her hand in marriage. And they all thought that they had what she wanted. But the one she chose was Vishnu. And Vishnu, he is the maintainer of the universe. So he's not the most dramatic, exciting guy. He's not the one who creates. He's not the one who destroys. He's the one who maintains. So he's the one who shows up every day. He's our staying power, his commitment. He's oftentimes a very invisible force in our lives. He is the riverbanks to the flow of Shri, the flow of Lakshmi. He's the structure that allows for abundance to flourish in our lives. Now, because the qualities of Vishnu has somehow been kidnapped into the expression that we see in the modern lifestyle today, the lifestyle that is based on patriarchy, where we see it expressed as perfectionism, as over rigidness, systems that are imposed upon the soft animal of the body. Many of us feel resistance to this quality. When we come into the woman's circle, into the goddess path, there is a sense of relief, like, ah, I can just be in the flow. I don't want to have discipline. I don't want to have these rigid shoulds, on my shoulders any longer. I just want to be in the moment and flow. But coming back to the metaphor of the river, just imagine a river that flows. And if it doesn't have riverbanks, yes, it will flow. But very soon it will begin to spread out very, very wide. And it will not flow very deep. Yeah? It will stay shallow on the surface. And it will flow, and then it eventually will dry out. And if we then imagine the same river with riverbanks, we can see that the river is still flowing. But it flows deep, it flows far, and most importantly, it keeps on flowing. So in our practice, we want to retrieve these qualities into a more healthy expression. So it takes some processes around redefining what our associations are to discipline, to structure, to systems, to boundaries. And to redefine it in a way that we can begin to understand that, oh, these qualities are actually expressions of love. These qualities are essential for us to be able to manifest into our world the vision of our hearts. Just take a rose, for example. A rose is such a beautiful expression of Shri, of Lakshmi. It had that, the fragrance, the softness, the color, the beauty. And it has that Shri, that undefinable essence that touches us through all our senses and beyond. And if you look at the rose petal, the rose petal is able to exist because of a structure, because of boundaries. There are this little skeleton within it. There is the boundaries around it. So you can see that the boundaries are not hindering the beauty. The structure is not suffocating the vitality and the spontaneous, unique, beautiful expression. It is supporting it. And in one way, you can't have one without the other. They are one. So when we carry the wound of overdosing on structures, overdosing on perfectionism, of this pressure, it is easy for us to resist when we speak about words like discipline and structure. We associate it with the patriarchy. But Vishnu shows us that the patriarchy is a very new system compared to how long life has existed here on Earth. So what we want is to retrieve the essential qualities. We don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Similarly, when we are retrieving the sacredness of rituals and prayers and devotion from the structures of the church, we are retrieving something that is essential to our nature that was just kidnapped by these systems and systems of power. So yes, we want to reject the systems of power, but we don't want to give away something that is essential to our creative expression in the world. Vishnu, he is many, many things. He's a very kind of great, beloved god of India. But as a consort of Lakshmi, just feeling those two together, the river and the riverbanks together, can give us such important keys to how we can not only have visions in our hearts, but also how we can take the steps in an aligned and joyful way of how to bring it into form in our lives. When we think about this discipline, the word, when you dig a little bit deeper into the word, the root of the word is similar to the root of the word disciple. And I love that reframe of thinking of this discipline, when you begin to explore this in your life, to think about it as disciplehood of what you love the most. So it's an act of love. So that you don't have to all the time depend on you, on feeling good or feeling inspired. If you take some time to look at how you can establish riverbanks, some structure in your life, you begin to discover that, oh, the riverbanks can support you no matter what you feel. There are structures and habits, patterns that you can lean on when you feel less inspired. They will carry you. So to establish the riverbanks in your life is to give yourself a chance to live in more ease, to feel supported in your life. For example, spiritual practice. You know, many of us go through periods where we just want to go with the flow. We don't want to have any specific structures around us. This is also somehow like a rebellion to all of the rules and dogmas and steps and things we have to do on the spiritual path in many maps. When we come to the goddess path, many of us go through a phase where we need to kind of shake off all of that. We want to retrieve an intimate, direct experience of spirit and to be loyal to how spirit expresses itself moment to moment. And I feel that this is a healthy, healthy step on our path. But we also want to be very sober about all the momentum around us that is designed to pull us away from our spiritual connection. There's so much distractions. There's so much momentum of what you should value and what you should spend your time and energy on. And it's important to not underestimate how powerful that pull is. So for the kind of softness and spaciousness of your true nature to have a chance to express itself in your life, most of us will need to spend time to feed it, to nurture, like we would nurture a garden. And think about it as self-love, to give yourself moments throughout the day that is dedicated to the deeper connection. Think about it as giving yourself a chance. Think about your spiritual connection as a soft sprout. And think about the spiritual practice as a nurturing that garden to provide circumstances for this sprout to be able to grow strong roots and to blossom in your life as you. And similarly, when it comes to your work, or when it comes to money, or it comes to your home or your relationships, feel into how can some more structures and riverbanks support the aliveness, the softness, the spontaneous creativity of these landscapes. Think about your time schedule. The default way we relate to our calendar is oftentimes that we make appointments with other people. We carve out time for work and obligations. And then we look at the time that is left over, and that is the time that we then can use in ways that feeds, for example, our spiritual path or our creativity or just our connection with ourselves and with the deeper realms. And so often I hear in my circles this record, like it's like a repetitive things we keep saying to ourselves is that, oh, I don't have time for that. Oh, you know, life is so overwhelming. I don't have time to do spiritual practice. I don't have time to paint. I don't have time. And there's a sadness or a grief or a longing for more time. And what I want to bring in as a contemplation here is to really question that thought. Because of course, if you know, we have obligations, and of course, if you are raising kids, and you know, of course, daily life can be overwhelming and it can feel as if there's not enough time. But nevertheless, when we take the time to question that thought, that belief, we may discover that, and what I have witnessed is that most of us will discover that we have more agency than what we think. That thought itself is somehow, and we keep repeating it, and it kind of is creating a reality where we feel that we are victim of time. And you may have this experience that when you carve out time for what is essentially important to you, whether that is your creativity or relationships or yourself or meditation or being in nature, whatever, to carve out time to feed the abundance in your life. You may have had that experience, at least I have had, is that when I meditate, I create time. When I do something meaningful, I'm catapulted out of that linear time that just gets more and more squeezed. And I'm into vertical time that is more spacious. When I'm connected with source flowing through me, I'm connected to eternal time. And when I act upon more agency and more choice and more creativity, more curiosity to my calendar, and I have been practicing of not only putting into my calendar appointment with other people, but to put into my calendar appointments with Goddess, with me, with abundance. And the more I do that, it expands time. So even if your calendar is very full of obligations, I invite you to investigate, to explore, just with an open curiosity. Maybe I have more choice here than I think. And how can I turn it around so that I prioritize life in a way that I feel that I'm a victim? How can I take more leadership of my time? Yeah, if you're experiencing, for example, that you don't have enough time with your family, you feel that you just get swept into all the practicalities. Maybe it takes a leader, someone who says stop, and says that no, now we are going to spend quality time together. Or if you are feeling that you never get to create that which you want to create, maybe there is a longing for leadership within you. And that leader is not going to come from anyone else. I remember I have been very, very dedicated to spiritual practice my whole adult life, and for decades, it was very disciplined. And there came a time in my path where I just wanted to not have any fixed practice. And I remember I was waking up in the morning, didn't want to have a morning practice. I just wanted to go with the flow. But what I noticed started to happen was that, you know, I have a lot of animals, the different animals had different needs. All of a sudden there was people in my life and in my work, my team, that was sending messages, and I was just kind of responding to other people's demand on my time. I started to read the news and get kind of sucked into the interweb and screens, and I begin to notice that what I called going with the flow was actually just to give up leadership of my time. And when I was not claiming my time, when I was not guiding my time, there was an endless influx of influences that wanted to guide my time. And my time was not necessarily guided in a direction, in a way that was beneficial to me or to my surroundings. I have a very kind of responsive system. It's easy for me to just merge with my surroundings. So for me, this has been an extra important aspect of embodying spirit, is to bring in a conscious relationship to the Vishnu qualities, is to take leadership, to bring a structure, to bring a framework, to bring that those edges of the rose petal around the flow, to bring riverbanks to the flow of life flowing through me. When you bring in and explore and create a conscious relationship to the Vishnu qualities, you are paying attention to a love that has to do with structures. And you begin to see that everything in the universe is leaning into this love, is upheld by this love. So when you tune into structures in this way, you begin to see that, oh, this is not opposite of spirit, it's an expression of spirit. And this can take very mundane expressions, just like I mentioned with the calendar. It can have to do with money, to sit down and create a budget for yourself. It can be an act of love, because you bring in, you know, you're not only focused on the movement of energy, but you consciously create pathways for the energy to move. So to sit down and create a budget for yourself can really relax your nervous system. It can feel as if it's like, oh, something kind of I have to do or should do to be a good person, you know, like all of these moral reasons to do that, or very kind of practical reasons so how to do that, which all are good too, but that is maybe where many of us feel the resistance. So if you can reframe it to see that, oh, if I actually sit down and look at the numbers and create a plan, yeah, from there, when you begin to see the numbers of your expenses, your income, you can begin to create further systems of automatic bill payments. You can make a plan of having money that you are needed for your fixed expenses to be in one account and to have spending money in another account. Structures like that, that you can see that it's not actually diminishing your freedom and flow. It just allows the freedom and flow and abundance to move in a way that is aligned with your deeper knowing. It's not built on denial or make believe. So to sit down and do all of these steps, can you see that that is love? That is love, to create structure so that abundance in form of money can flow in a grounded way and in a way that is aligned with your bigger picture desire. To bring awareness in this way is to bring alignment. And what I mean by that is that you are literally bringing in, you know, your frontal cortex. You are bringing in the part of yourself also that has the bigger picture, that has, where you are more connected. It's like the kind of that mama, yeah? The mama who can see a child. The mama can see the desire of the child in the moment, but the mama can also see what the consequences of that choice is. So the more you bring in that part of yourself, the more free you can be in your yes, because you know that it's happening within a structure that is designed for your benefit, to support you. When we speak about the Hindu gods, like Vishnu, the gods, the way they are expressing themselves in the world is through Shakti, is through the goddess. So we spoke about Lakshmi as one way, you know, Vishnu and Lakshmi together are this incredibly beautiful, very noble expression of leadership in a material world. It's like a nobility, integrity, love, freedom, abundance, sustainability. It's all of these qualities. And another Shakti, another goddess aspect that is associated with Lakshmi and with Vishnu is Adhara Shakti. And Adhara Shakti is the goddess in form of support. So you can see that this is like an extension of Vishnu. So support can take many different forms. Like maybe you are sitting on a chair right now, and the chair underneath you is Adhara Shakti taking form as a chair, or Adhara Shakti taking form as earth underneath the chair, or Adhara Shakti taking form as gravity. But if you take away gravity, you take away the earth, you take away the chair, you take away your body. Adhara Shakti is the essence that remains. So Adhara Shakti is always here. It just takes different form. And so often in our lives, we can experience that we are not supported. And this is when we are fixed on support taking a certain form. And of course, sometimes we need support in specific forms, which are, you know, it's beneficial to work towards that or to request that. But the feeling of not being supported is a very primal, deep wound in us. It is one of those that we in the goddess path is relating to as an illusion. Because it is a consequence of not seeing Adhara Shakti, or it is to be ignorant, and not as ignorant as something bad. It's a very specific thing that we ignore what is. And the way we ignore what is when we fixate on specific forms. Because right now, the breath is supporting you, Adhara Shakti. And the food that you eat is earth supporting you, feeding you. Inside your body, your spine is supporting you. The steady beat of the heart is Adhara Shakti. The steady beat of your heart is another expression of Vishnu, of structure. Yeah, it is the beat of the heart is steady, but it's also moving. And I love that, to relate to structure as a rhythm. Yeah, so if you think about how you can create more structure in your life, instead of thinking about it as something rigid, like a rigid construct, you can think about it as a rhythm. Something that is always there, but is also flexible and fluid. It goes with life. It changes and shifts, but it's steady. So tuning into Adhara Shakti in this moment, not as something that you have to find or be worthy of, but to feel right now how the breath is supporting you, how earth is supporting you, how your spine is supporting you. The skeleton is supporting you. You begin to tune into structures that are already here. And that maybe can soften the associations and resistance to systems and structures in your life. When you begin to see that, oh, how can I extend this support that I feel in my very own body? How can I extend that into other areas in my life? So that the budget that you create, the automatic bill payments that you create, is just an extension of your heartbeat. Extension of the love of the earth. Extension of Adhara Shakti and of Vishnu, the maintainer of the universe. And then we stop making it so difficult for ourselves. In our rejection of these qualities, we make it very difficult. We think that we make it easier because I'm just flowing. I just want to flow. I just want to feel. I just want to intuitively respond to the moment. All of those things are essential and so important. But for that to not be just be a dream or a make-believe, for that to be a lived reality, you need to have the structures for that to happen. Think about it, that structures, they are everywhere. So if you don't consciously create the structures, you are unconsciously, your energy is unconsciously flowing in the structures that are maybe not designed to lead you where you want to go. We bow to Vishnu. We bow to Vishnu Lakshmi together. Remember, they are one. They are the formlessness and form of the same quality. And I wish for you that you will have beautiful, brilliant, nourishing systems and structures around your time and around your beautiful life force, energy and creativity, so that you in this lifetime can live in congruence and alignment with that brilliant vision of your heart.
Thank you for listening to Living Goddess. If you like what you heard, please share this podcast with a friend and follow, rate, and review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen in.